This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Coming up, the last people in the world you want to be human, doctors. But first, you've heard the statistics, the public health warnings, the messages from the Surgeon General. And now at least one judge has weighed in, if you please. Some of the world's biggest companies may ultimately have to change the way they do business. And not the tobacco companies, but purveyors of processed and fatty foods. As Americans become more aware of the health risks of obesity, litigators are seeking more and more similarities between the case against big tobacco and just big, fat. Joe Nocera, our friend from the world of business, is executive editor of Fortune magazine. He joins us from the studios of WFCR in Amherst. Joe, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
You know, it's not difficult to make the argument that a Big Mac or a quarter pounder is bad for you, but isn't it hard to make the argument that it's addicting?
Yes, it is. And that's why addiction is not the way this is going to go. There was a very interesting case that essentially got thrown out of court last week revolving around an attempt to sue McDonald's for creating obesity in some kids. Mm-hmm. And the judge basically said, this isn't going to fly like this. But then he said, here's how to bring this case. You don't bring it on the basis of addiction or just the mere fact that this food makes people fat, because everybody knows that. The way you do it is by claiming that there's some deceptive practices or that things are going on that people don't know about. And he actually pointed to Chicken McNuggets, saying that Chicken McNugget, he called it a McFrankenstein creation of various elements not utilized by the home cook. In other words, it's worse than you think it is, and McDonald's isn't telling you that. Mm-hmm. And you can start to get some documents like that and so on. Then all of a sudden, you've got yourself a lawsuit.
Mm. You mean, for example, if a fast food provisioner will try and represent the product as being fine, delicate filet slices of chicken, gently breaded or something like that, when in fact it's offal and guts and that kind of stuff?
That's right. And in fact, fast food may have less of a problem than companies like Nestle and Coca-Cola and people who basically make food with a lot of sugar in it and who advertise and who have product claims. And the place they're really vulnerable is on advertising, which, you know, if the plaintiff's lawyers can find some misleading advertising, then the battle has begun. Now, let's point out, mm-hmm. Scott, that for 30 years, Big Tobacco never lost. It took this societal change. It took this full frontal assault by the plaintiff's bar. It took state attorneys general getting involved. And then once they got into the companies, they could get these documents. And the documents, you know, obviously show that tobacco companies did know how bad their product was and mm-hmm. had done their best for a while, at least, to hide it. This is not something that's going to happen overnight. The lawyers that Fortune's talked to on this subject have basically said, we see this as a 5 to 10 year process.
Now, Joe, at the same time, though, isn't there this movement for tort reform that might prevent some of these cases? Because there are people, and I must say this administration has been outspoken in its opposition to some of these cases. There are people that feel that they've gone too far in recent years, that they try and make fast food companies responsible for the fact that their coffee's hot and some guy once stuck a swizzle stick up his nose and therefore the coffee stirrer is perceived as dangerous, and then they sue.
That's very true. George Bush is passionate on the subject of tort reform. But, you know, if there were a serious movement for tort reform, that would plainly deter some of this kind of class action litigation. The flip side is, however, that the tort lawyers are probably the single largest group of contributors to the Democratic Party. And in the modern Senate, despite the fact that the Republicans have the majority, you need 60 votes to get anything done because you have to block it. You have to stop a filibuster.
So, and does the informing premise of a lot of these suits seem to be not that that kind of food can be fattening, but that the companies are not owning up to how fattening it can be?
That's exactly right. And that's the way you make this attack. If you go out and say, McDonald's makes you fat, the answer is going to be, hey, everybody knows that. But if you go out and say, they knew X and they didn't tell you, and we have the documents to prove it, those are the kind of lawsuits that are going to have legs. And so what will be important to watch over the coming months on this is to see whether the fat lawsuits that come down the pike after the McDonald's one that just came down, whether they start to veer in that direction. If they do, I think the food companies really have a reason to be worried.
Mm-hmm. Joe, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Scott.
Almost lunchtime, isn't it?
But I'm not hungry anymore.
Not me neither. Joe Nocera, executive editor at Fortune magazine, speaking from the studios of WFCR in Amherst, Massachusetts.